Hi, boys and girls. Like you, Santa is listening to the Merry Little Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com. Oh, 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 oh,
oh. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock.
Merry Christmas and welcome to this, the 40th episode of the Merry Little Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com. My name is Jeff Westover, founder of the feast at MyMerryChristmas.com, where we have been celebrating Christmas, tracking Santa, and enjoying all the legends and traditions of Christmas for more than 27 years now online. If you've come to this episode looking for information about the pagan Christmas, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I'm not a huge fan of historians who like to bum off the sacred traditions of Christmas to paganism because, well, they are mostly not true. The first thing you need to understand about paganism is that it defies true definition. The common perception is that paganism is what people believed before Christianity, and that is simply incorrect. The very term paganism comes from Christianity, you see. The term paganism was revived during the Renaissance when writers were trying to differentiate the old traditions from their contemporary Christian faith. The term itself stems from the Latin word paganus, translated loosely along the lines of country dweller or rustic. Thus, it was initially a word describing a person of locality rather than of belief. In truth, paganism is a catch-all. It has no known history. Many localities and belief systems are encapsulated within it, and it can and is dated as far back as suits the lazy historian. From this thinly defined thing comes every excuse for Christmas traditions, from Christmas trees to Santa Claus, that some historians claim make up our modern celebration of Christmas. I'd like you to set aside whatever notions you have of paganism and Christmas for a bit. Forget what you've heard about the origins of Christmas in the past and examine some verifiable, proven facts about Christmas. Through paganism, historians will tell you Christmas didn't even become a thing until the 3rd or 4th century, thus making it less than 2,000 years old. I tell you that is false. It is actually much, much older than that. From Handel's Messiah, written in music in the 18th century when historians claim many were not even celebrating Christmas, comes the text from the ancient prophet Isaiah, written 750 years before Christ, a prophecy of the babe born in Bethlehem. This is fact. It is not speculation. The history of the Bible is a topic in and of itself, but historians have a difficult time dismissing the Bible and especially the Old Testament because, well, it predates Christ. Evidence not only of what is written of the books of the prophets that survived from those generations before Christ, but opposite is also true. There is little evidence of anything else. The Bible is not only scripture, it is history. Earlier this year, archaeologists discovered physical proof of what they already knew was real, confirmation of the existence of Isaiah the prophet outside of the Bible. The evidence is an impression left by a seal that could identify the prophet Isaiah as its owner. The impression was on a piece of clay known as a bulla, which was used as a sort of tag attached to the string tying scrolls together. The announcement was made in May and June in the edition of the Biblical Archaeology Review in 2018. But we do not need modern archaeology in this case to prove what we already know is true. Isaiah was a prophet who foretold the coming of Christ not once but twice. He came and he will come again. Isaiah has been quoted by all the prophets who came after him, including by Christ himself. In the New Testament, Isaiah is quoted 137 times, at least 7 times by Jesus Christ, and at least 40 times by the apostles. My point in bringing up Isaiah is that he foretold the coming of Christ in explicit detail, and he was not the first to do so. Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Micah spoke similarly of the coming of Christ. Christ was foretold by Adam, Enoch, Noah, Moses, by Hosea, Zechariah, David, Nephi, Alma, and Abinadi. So prolific were the writings of prophecy concerning Christ that they were quoted by historians frequently in the post-Christ era. In fact, it was a second century historian named Eusebius who first called Christianity the oldest religion in the world. He said, and I quote, "Our life and conduct with our doctrines of religion have not been lately invented by us, but from the first creation of man, so to speak, have been established by the natural understanding of divinely favored men of old. What then should prevent the confession that we who are of Christ practice one and the same mode of life and have one and the same religion as those divinely favored men of old, whence it is evident that the perfect religion committed to us by the teaching of Christ is not new and strange, but if the truth must be spoken, it is the first and true religion." That statement's more than 1800 years old. The sad fact of Isaiah, and indeed most of the Old Testament prophets who foretold of Christ, is that they were rejected, fighting the so-called paganism of their day. Isaiah faced a violent death when he was sawed in half. But his rejection was not complete and total. The teaching of the prophets was to someone, and those people who believed knew very well of Christ coming too. In our day, the answer of Christmas before Christ is actually posed as a question.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered would soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb.
Mary, did you know, is a song upsetting to some Christians today because it supposes that Mary had no idea what had happened to her or why. The truth of the matter is, not only did Mary know, but so did Joseph, so did the shepherds, so did the wise men, so did Elizabeth and Zacharias. In fact, interestingly enough, so did Herod, who was not a believer. They all knew, It was very common knowledge. How did they know? It was taught to them of Jewish tradition. They had not only the 750-year-old writings of Isaiah in their time, but they had many of the ancient texts that we lack today, the plain and precious truths of books even beyond the Old Testament that foretold of Christ. This is what makes the story of the Nativity so compelling, the real, very human face of those who were taught, raised up, and believed in the coming of Christ. Did they celebrate it with trees, with lights, with Santa Claus, and with presents? Probably not, but they did celebrate it. They looked forward to it. Recent research into the shepherds indicates that they were not the working poor, the uneducated of the fields of Israel. These were no keepers of ordinary sheep. They were high priests charged with keeping the firstlings of the flock for sacrifice in the temple under the law of Moses. Theirs was a sacred and holy charge, and they were trained for it. They knew what they were doing and why they were doing it. They knew that someday the old law that they practiced would be done away with, replaced with the sacrifice from on high. From the New Testament, we know exactly how these men of God reacted. At first, they were, as it says, sore afraid. And who among us would not be if all that we had been taught was fulfilled in one thrilling moment in the dark of night by the visit of angels? And who among us would not react the same, with great gladness, with enthusiastic zeal, pronouncing that Christ, the promised Messiah, as spoken of for centuries, had finally come? after the shepherds had heard the angel, after they listened to the singing of the heavenly host, and after they had witnessed with their own eyes the baby lying in the manger, then did they celebrate by enthusiastically spreading the news of it all to any who would hear it. The scriptures say they returned glorifying and praising God. What is that, if not Christmas? Even still, that was not the first time that Christmas was celebrated. That celebration began long, long before any of the shepherds were born. Christ, in his great intercessory prayer given in the 17th chapter of John, said, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with that which I had with thee before the world was." Before the world was. What does that mean? It means that Christ, which is a title, not a name, was set apart to his mortal mission, that he would be born of the flesh, would perform works of miracles, and would die a sacrifice for sin and rise again on the third day. This is Christmas. It was so celebrated before the world was that the Old Testament prophet Job described the celebration where the sons of God shouted for joy. This is Christmas. It is pure Christmas, celebrated as it was long, long before the time of the mortal Christ, the babe of Bethlehem. Paganism, which in most cases really is just corrupted religion, and the non-religious have co-opted Christmas through the ages in periods of history that are well-defined and undeniable. And that's fine. It is the way of all truth. Truth, as we see in our own day of politics, religion, and debate, is fleeting. But this is the one reason why faith is the first principle of the gospel of Christ. But just as the prophets foretold the coming of Christ in the meridian of time, so too did they and modern prophets foretell the second coming of Christ in a future day. This is Christmas. Like Mary and Joseph and John and Elizabeth and Zacharias and others, we know it. We celebrate it. It is what makes Christmas continually worth celebration. This is Jeff Westover of MyMerryChristmas.com, wishing you and yours now and forever a very Merry Christmas.